I'll do my best today to share something I feel God has given me. I'm really tired this morning. I can't imagine how tired Ellen is, because I know how tired I am this morning. So I'm going to do my best to follow through with what I feel like we need to talk about this morning. On the wall, we have something that we don't often have. It's just a list of things that I use the first Sunday of the year. Trying to encourage people. For those of you who may be visiting this morning, I'll let me explain this. We don't normally put up a checklist. But the first Sunday of the year, which typically is a time when people often make resolutions and what am I going to do different this year, I was very moved on New Year's Day to receive numerous texts from people of what their goals were for that year. I was so encouraged. We had sent out a Happy New Year, Pam and I did, through the prayer circle and prayer tree, and I challenged people a little bit, what are you thinking for this year? And I was just overwhelmed by the response. And I saw so many people who, had so many people text me who were saying similar things. Want to spend more time with God, want to draw closer, I want to do better at representing Christ at my workplace, I want to be more faithful in my daily walk. I was actually very encouraged by the text I received from people. And so that following Sunday, I felt drawn to just put a simple challenge, and really it was kind of an elementary sermon. And I think I even was a little apologetic during the sermon, probably shouldn't have been, but was about that this is just such a simple message. But I am finding that as people are taking this counsel and advice, and how you do your daily walk with God, that's got to be figured out between you and God. The Bible says, work your own salvation out with fear and trembling. In other words, in a very reverent way, in respect to God, not fear as in afraid, but in respect to God, figure out how to do this, how my walk with God's to look like. Of course, it starts with rebirth, coming to Jesus Christ, opening our heart to Him. But then, I think to a degree, we got to kind of figure out how we're going to do things, and we got to restructure our lives. And it'll make radical changes in your life if you do that. A saying that we have here, and we use all the time, and probably everybody could say it, is that if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. People say, well, I don't like what I've got. I don't like what life's handing me. Well, if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. And in Isaiah, it says, do a new thing. And I challenge you at the first of the year, and I believe I used that chapter or that verse in Isaiah, if I recall, do a new thing. And we actually, we don't normally have a checklist on the wall, but I actually had on the wall a three-month challenge for January, February, and March, 20 minutes of prayer a day, a minimum of that. Start that. If some that are just getting started on this. Personally, I'm in a stage in my life where I have more time than some of you do. And my wife and I like to have quite a bit more time than that in the morning to spend with the Lord. But 20 minutes in prayer and read a chapter every morning. I encouraged you, and I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. There's a reason why I'm reviewing this. Write a verse on a card or on your phone wallpaper and put it in your pocket. Memorize it. You say, I can't memorize. You would be surprised. The Holy Spirit, the dove, He will aid you in things you need to do. And memorize Scripture, and we've suggested some various Scriptures. We like the song Abide With Me that Brandon, Brian, and Allie just sang a few minutes ago. And Psalms 91 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I encourage you that to pick that as a verse. Or you can start with John 3:16, and there's all kinds of directions you can go with that. But when you get the Word into you, do a new thing. The Bible says, abide in Christ. We're going to tag on that this morning and try to do a good job, despite the tiredness, and get across to you what this means to abide in Christ. And we're going to specifically talk today about our thinking in a very practical way. What's the pastor mean, abide in the Lord. I believe the first Sunday of the year I said to you, we all know how to abide in our phones. Do you agree? We all know how to abide in our phones. You enter the airport terminal and everybody's abiding in their phone, you know. And I'm over there too, and we're catching up on things while we got a few minutes. We know how to do that. Sometimes we make this much harder than it is. First, you come to Christ, and that's a miracle, and your sins are forgiven, and you experience rebirth. What I want to talk to you about today in a very practical way is heart reborn, mind reprogrammed. Okay? Heart reborn, which is the miraculous gift of salvation through Jesus' price he paid on the cross. You must be born again, John 3:3. In Acts it says, anyone that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But heart reborn, mind reprogrammed. And I think, as I observe, I've been walking with the Lord for 46 years. So I think sometimes I forget that people don't actually know how to do that. And at the 1st of January, when I preached this message, I was apologizing all throughout the message, how simple it was, and kind of thinking. But I was amazed at the feedback I got from people, and they said, thanks for explaining how to do that. And I looked at my wife, and I said, hello, I need to wake up and smell the daisies here and realize I've been a Christian for a long time. Some of these folks don't know what it means hour by hour to abide in the Lord. It sounds like some mysterious word. What we think is huge in the Christian life. What we think. I like hunting. Sometimes I have abided in hunting. Hunting season came and I was excited, and October 1st came up on the calendar and bow season opened. And I was reading all the latest bow hunting magazines, and friends of mine were sending me pictures from their game cameras of these ridiculous bucks that I never see that are got racks the size of a rocking chair on their head upside down, you know. And you're like, and pretty soon your adrenaline's up. And when I was younger, this is fading quickly, but Pam's noticed a huge difference. She said, you're not going hunting? I said, are you kidding me? I'm going to sit by the stove. I'm getting old. But when I was younger, I was OCD on hunting. I mean, come hunting season, where am I going with this? I was abiding in hunting. So I was reading all the hunting magazines, and I was having pictures back and forth from people of the deer that they had seen. Man, there was 3 bucks out here fighting at my house. You should have seen them. And you're like, oh, you're all fired up. And the night before bow season, I'm laying awake at 2 a.m, staring blankly at the ceiling because I'm so excited about going hunting. A grown man, imagine. Get up in the morning, take a no-scent bath with no-scent soap, no-scent shampoo. 30 days before that, I had washed all of my clothes with no-scent. I put all my clothes, Andre, in a bag with leaves and dirt. Learned that from Eric Craney. Oh, man, I put a lot into this. Hello, I'm going somewhere with this. What you abide in will become part of you and get into your heart. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with getting fired up the first day of hunting season. Let the little boy come out of you a little bit, or little girl. That's fine. So off I'd go to the tree stand. Didn't matter the temperature, what it was raining or what. I'd go out to the barn and put on all my hunting clothes out of that bag, and they smell like leaves. And I use horses to my advantage because I have horses on my property, and the deer are used to the horses, and they will graze out with the horses. So I ride a horse to the deer stand. No scent. You're not walking. Plus, deer are very smart, but they can't figure out what a man on a horse is. I don't know why. Somebody should explain that to them. They don't get that. They can't seem to be able to separate it. So you get on the horse, and Cody, Wonder Horse, my wonder horse, that's 20 years old. This is the truth. This is the truth. He knows where the deer stands are. He does, Lonnie. He knows where the deer stands are. In fact, he knows the one I go on opening day. How he knows that from 1 year to the next, I think that horse can read my mind. I get on him with my camel on the bow, and he's all dancing. He knows he's supposed to do something. And last year, I chose a different stand, and he argued with me. I'm dead serious. Jim, it's the truth. I took off toward the stand, a different stand, and he kept pulling. And I thought, he's trying to go to that other stand. How did he remember that a year ago? That's really the truth. And he's so nice and gentle that I can get over and I can actually get off of him out of the stirrups onto the ladder. So my feet never touch the ground. Okay, what am I saying? Guess what I was thinking about all that day? You with me? Guess what I was thinking about all that day? Hunting. Because I was abiding in hunting. I was reading the magazines. I was thinking about it. I had the clothes. I was doing the stuff. My mind was filled with that. We can be reborn in Jesus. And we were having a little fun about the hunting story. But this is powerfully true. We can be reborn in Jesus, and that's a marvelous thing. But we can never grow and end up stagnant and dead in the water because of our thoughts are all filled with the wrong things. And we're not doing a new thing. We're going right back and doing the same old stuff. And we're back on the internet soaking in the same old stuff. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. Pastor, I can't figure it out. You know, I'm in my 50s now and I'm still having the same problems. Well, hon, you're doing the same thing you've always done. Jesus calls us out to do a new thing. This is valuable stuff. I challenge you at the first of the year to attend church as regularly as you can. We're not into checklists and do's and don'ts, and you could be visiting this morning and misunderstand this. This was a challenge of these things have helped me. To have prayer in the morning, to have time with God, to take a verse with me to work. When I worked at Kroger's for 17 years, I used to take a verse on a note card, an index card, and put it in my pocket. And you'd be surprised. If you memorize a verse a day, or even three verses a week, you know, 52 weeks a year, you know, 150 verses. Is that important? Oh, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You'll be amazed at your ability to deal with temptation if you got the scripture in you. When anxiety comes and you get that, "Oh, mercy, they just had a company meeting." Anybody relate? "Oh, mercy, they just had a company meeting and they're pulling the rug out from under all of us." It's wonderful to have your subconscious through the Holy Spirit. Have your subconscious through the Holy Spirit kick up the verse while you're sitting in the meeting and everybody else is chewing their fingernails off, and the verse comes up, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will guard your hearts," and you can have peace when nobody else does. Preached on it yesterday. But I entered a man's room on a Friday night, and it was impactful because I've been there myself in a near-death experience, and that was Larry D.A. And on that Friday night, I saw that despite he had gotten the news that just knocked him off his horse as far as unexpected news, he had that same big smile and said, "Hey, buddy, how are you?" And I saw peace in him. We got to do a new thing. We got to do a new thing, and God's calling us to do that, to live a new way. God's love for us is not based on performance. And we're raised based on performance, usually. But God's love is not based on performance. But His anointing and favor are definitely tied to faithfulness. Are you with me? Okay, and that's not preached much nowadays, but it's the truth. God's love is not based on performance. I want you to listen very carefully to this. But His anointing and His favor are definitely tied to faithfulness. Don't you let anybody anywhere or at any other church tell you that faithfulness doesn't matter. Oh, God's love isn't based on that. If I mess up awful tomorrow, God's love gushes to me and offers me forgiveness and wants to help. But I can lose the anointing and favor of God if I refuse to be faithful. Why am I saying that here? Because our thought life plays a key role in this. When we start our day with time with God, we start our day with Scripture. We're abiding in Him. when everybody else is abiding in their phone and catching up on all the Facebook stuff that they don't even need to know that'll make them mad. Sit there in the break room and bring up 1 Corinthians 13 and read the love chapter, and then when you go out to wait on the next customer, it'll change you. Anybody with me? Yeah. When you go out to wait on the next customer, I waited on customers for 17 years. It isn't easy. Some of you have jobs like that, and it's difficult. But when you go off to the break room, and instead of wasting your time and filling your mind with all kind of crazy input that's not doing you any good, abide in Him. This is how you put it on and wear it. We can sing the song, Abide in Him, but how do you do that? How do you put it on and wear it? It's in practicing His Word. And then when temptation comes, as I said a moment ago, or temptation to be anxious, you've got God's Word within you. When moral, sexual temptation comes along, which we all deal with from time to time, I don't know how many times I have quoted the verse, take heed lest ye fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's no temptation but that's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, and will with every temptation bring a way of escape. I've said that to the devil 1,000 times, I know I have. When temptation comes along, I say, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Say it with authority to him. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation, but that's common to man, the scripture said. The devil likes to isolate you. Nobody has this but you. Nobody else deals with this stuff. You must be really way down here. Says there's no temptation but that's common to man. I never will forget my godly mother. She's an incredible woman. She should be in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. An incredible woman. And one time in a Sunday school class, she was talking about how she struggled with evil thoughts at times. People's mouths were hanging open. They're like, you're kidding me. Virginia Robbins had an evil thought? That's impossible. Only to realize she was as human as everybody else. Daddy used to say, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you certainly can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Okay? Evil thoughts will come. We live in an evil world. Everything's sensual. Everything, whoa, we worked in the inner city. I'm telling you. We didn't go out on the street at night at 11 o'clock without 2 hours of prayer. You talk about feeling the presence of the enemy. We had people sacrificing chickens across the street in the basement in satanic rituals. We had prostitutes all over the street. We decided before we ever started that we would spend 2 hours in prayer before we went out on the street. And it made a huge difference. I never will forget Pastor Alberto Guerrero, the Spanish man. I'd only been in Chicago working for about 3 months. And he came up to me and he read me perfectly. He said, how are you doing? I said, boy, it's a rough place. And I never will forget, he leaned down and pointed at me. And he was an authoritative guy. He leaned down and pointed at me. He said, double your prayer time. Double your prayer time. And I started doing that. And that was the time in my life when I actually doubled my prayer time. Noticed a huge difference. Because prayer puts a hedge around you. Prayer puts a hedge, and the more you abide in Him, the stronger that hedge is. Don't you let anybody tell you faithfulness doesn't matter. Now, if you messed up royal this morning, confess it, forget it, and let it go, and get back on the horse. Get back on. Success is falling down 4 times and getting up 5. But theologically, we got to be on the money, or we're not going to have anointing here. And faithfulness is scriptural, and God calls us to faithfulness, but a lot of it has to do with our thought life. Heart rebirth, mind reprogrammed. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Rebirth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, we're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Rebirth. But then, Romans 12:2 is an interesting... Romans 12 is an awesome chapter. If you get to where you're kind of bored and struggle and stale in your reading, read Romans 12. There's so much in the 12th chapter of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. These are verses I memorized at Kroger's on my index card, okay? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. With me? What we're preaching this morning is theologically sound. You can go to the bank on it. He says, present yourself a living sacrifice. We don't do the dead sacrifice thing. We're in the New Testament. Jesus died for us. He paid the price for all of us. But he says, present yourself a living sacrifice. You're alive and well and breathing, but present yourself at that level. And then be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Folks, you got to get your fingernails in that verse. How are we transformed? Oh, Pastor, I want to be transformed. I hear people, I know I've been forgiven. I know I've had heart rebirth, but I want to be transformed. I mean, I hear people give testimony, and they talk about they don't have some of the thoughts they used to have, and their life has changed. And even though temptation will come, like I said, the birds will fly over your head. They'll be they don't make those choices anymore, and they've gotten strong enough to make the right choices and do the right thing, and they're not doing what they've always done. How does that transformation happen, Pastor? How does that happen? Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's some powerful things happen when you get the Word of God into you. Some powerful things happen. You'll be transformed. It goes on to say there in Romans 12, a powerful chapter, that you'll find the will of God. People say, what's the will of God? Like it's some mystical thing that you follow your whole life and never find. It says there that be not conformed to this world, be a transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on to say that you will find the perfect will of God as you're into God's Word, as you get the Scripture into you. It'll begin to unfold to you things God wants you to do that day up the road, and the path will begin to form as you go and walk in faith. Heart reborn, mind reprogrammed. Now, you'll have to apologize for my sermon title. It's on the next screen. And if you think it's inappropriate, Don Day sent it to me. Name of the message is Stinking Thinking. Don, I get a kick out of Don. He sends me cool stuff. And he and I were having a text conversation back and forth about this thing. I preached this message that I reviewed the first Sunday of the year, and he was talking to me about that. And he sent me in great big letters, he said, the problem is we're saved, but the problem is our stinking thinking. And when I read that, the Lord said to me, that's your sermon title, Stinking Thinking. I think Don's on to something. What do you think, Andy? Yeah. It's our stinking thinking. It's our thinking's off. We're not thinking right. Philippians, if you got it on your phone or in your Bible, this you got to get this verse into you. This would be a good one to start and use if you're not memorizing Scripture. Philippians 4. And I'm gonna read, I think up here I have just verses 8 and 9, but I'm going to read a little earlier than that, verse 4, a little before that. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And it would be real easy to have ADD moments here, if you can imagine that, and run off on a tangent, because there's so many things could be said. Joy and rejoice are used over and over and over in the book of Philippians, and Paul penned this through the Holy Spirit while he was in prison. Come on. You got a hold of something. You found some new thinking, Vince. If you're in prison and you're writing to everybody and saying, rejoice, you got a hold of something. Anybody want that? It's difficult for me to cope with a normal day. I want to be at a place where I can write to you in prison, and we may see that. America will change fast. God's given us a little window here to get some things in order, and that's my opinion, and I believe that there's scriptural basis for that. But when things go south, they're going to really go south, and they're going to go south fast, and we're going to be amazed. Our heads are going to be swimming. It's going to go south so fast when it goes south. And so what I just said is not far-fetched, that there might be a time I'm writing you a letter and I'm in prison. There's some things you're not going to be able to say. You can't talk about truth, and you can't say it, or it's going to cost you dearly. I believe we're nearing those times. But it's amazing to me that Paul was in prison and he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. Here again, I could have an ADD moment. Moderation. Find the middle ground. Don't be an extremist on everything, you know. Find that place. As I grow older, God's bringing me back more to a place where I have good understanding. And, you know, we can be extremists at times. And there's a time to do the extreme. That isn't out of the question. The parting of the Red Sea was extreme. There's a time for the extreme. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 6 of Philippians 4. It's the one I quoted a while ago. Isn't this cool? This is a great verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you will commit to pray that Ellen and her family will have a peace that passes understanding? And can I see your hand? Ellen, look around here. Everybody. That you'll have a peace in the midst of this horrendous happening in 14 days. Huge adjustment. I shared a little bit yesterday at the funeral that sometimes your heart and head got to catch up with each other. I know when I had never been hospitalized in my life, all I'd ever had is a few stitches. And I went in, and they said, you have acute myeloid leukemia, and you're a medical emergency. I remember I said, excuse me? Excuse me? And when they left me alone for a few minutes, because I requested to be alone for a few minutes to be with Pam and pray, I said, I know I'm an emergency, but I always pray. Can I have just a little bit of time to pray? They said, you stay right here, but we'll give you a little time. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, help my brains to catch up with this. My heart hurted, I think, and I know that it's true, but help my brains and emotions to catch up with this. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Do you know that in a difficult factory or in a difficult change of life or a difficult happening that just throws you, do you know that God can give you a peace that's past understanding? People look in and say, how in the world could they be so peaceful? We saw it in Larry. How in the world could you just get that news of stage 4 cancer and you're smiling, saying, and grinning at your minister and saying hi and responding to the 23rd Psalm and saying, let's plan the funeral, and you don't even have any tears running down your face. You're going over the songs you want. I want you to sing I Can Only Imagine. I want these guys to be honorary pallbearers. I want, and all of it's attainable. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that the world looks in and says, well, we had that meeting, and people went out of here mad and cussing and screaming, and people went out of here crying, and you just walked out and kind of lowered your head. Oh, you make you sad. But the Lord knew about that this morning. The Lord knew about that yesterday morning. He knew about it before you did. Grab a hold. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came, the storm, and beat upon the house. Don't believe teaching that says, oh, if you're living for God, you're never going to have any trouble. There's a promise in that verse. It says there's going to be a storm bad enough that it's going to beat up the house. So occasionally, there's going to be something like that. But it says it did not fall. Why? Because it's on the rock. You are on the rock. I don't do this very often, and I don't like pastors that try to turn their congregation into puppets. I've never liked that. But would you say back to me, I'm on the rock? Come on, again. Come on. Yes, if you know Jesus Christ, you're on the rock. You are on the rock. And when the devil, will you receive this, what I'm getting ready to say? Without getting mad and throwing me out? Because I like all of you and I want to stay. Don't be offended at this. But you ain't going to run the devil off if you can't say, I'm on the rock to me. Don't be offended. But I had a time in my life I was way too timid with the devil. Now let's talk about the devil for a minute. I'm not flippant about the devil. Okay? Nor do I make jokes about the devil. Has anybody ever heard me tell a joke about the devil? No. You know why? Because the disciples came back kind of smarting off to Jesus saying, well, the devils are subject to us. And he said, I saw Satan as fire fall from heaven. When Lucifer was cast out of heaven, as the archangel because he tried to fight with God. And that didn't work out so well. Jesus said, I saw Satan as fire fall from heaven. He is a force to be reckoned with, but we do not fear him. That's the balance. I've never liked people. I've never liked it, and I've always cringed. And I've walked out of services where guys act like a devil's a big joke. I'm old black his eyes. Not on your own, you ain't. He was fire fall from heaven. Now listen up. It said the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. What's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus at the crucifixion. The seed of the woman, through the human line, God in the flesh, Mary, a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was born. The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head, but it said the serpent will bruise his heel. Jesus got his heel bruised by the suffering on Calvary through the devil. So don't you think for one minute that he isn't out to give you trouble. But listen up, please. You cannot, in this dangerous world and culture we live in, be timid with the enemy. Get after him. Do it in Jesus' name. Get after him. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I can tell you time when the devil tried to flood my mind with things and we have it out. And I don't say that flippantly. I'd say, in Jesus' name, it's not me. And he says, well, you're weak, the devil says. And I say, oh, don't tell me I'm weak. I already know I'm weak. You don't need to tell me that. I already know that. But I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to put up with these thoughts. I'm not going to deal with this. And sometimes we need to have it out with the enemy. Please don't be offended. But American Christians are not ready for the tribulation period. They can't even say Jesus in the break room. How in the world are you going to ward off Lucifer? But I'm going to tell you something. One saved person, and I don't care if it is yesterday, one saved person with the name of Jesus has authority over the enemy. Are you with me? One saved person has authority over the enemy. In Jesus' name. Didn't plan to go that direction. Our thinking. The day that I went to the deer stand, the day that I was reading the magazines late at night, the morning I went, took the no-scent bath and shampooed my hair with no scent and went to all the work to go hunting and I enjoy doing that. And when you put that much into something, it's fun to have success. It is. It's a neat thing. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't obsess you and make it your God, okay? But what I'm saying to you is, what were my thoughts that day? I was flooding my thought with all that, and that's what I was producing. The same thing happens with garbage. You know, garbage in, garbage out. We got way too much media. We got too much coming in. We've heard too many things. We don't need to know everybody's viewpoint on everything. Life gets real complex and messy. Stay on track. Stay focused. Think the right things. But to do that, you got to feed the right stuff into the computer. Are you with me? Rebirth is miraculous. But your mind needs reprogrammed. We got to learn to think. I've realized, and I've been in a bubble probably for a long time, Vince, because I've been a Christian a lot of years. You guys are going to think this is crazy, but it's the truth. If you don't realize the bubble I'm in sometimes, and God has to shock me back to reality sometimes, nobody ever cusses around me. Well, I've been a minister for 36 years and 34 of it's been in this area, and everybody knows me. And we've gotten acquainted. No, I don't think I seldom hear a swear word. And I think sometimes, that's a wonderful thing, but I think sometimes too, you can forget when people are starting, they got to learn to think again. They got all these words in their head, and they've been using them, and they got to rethink, and we're not into do's and don'ts and checklists, but in all I do, I honor him, and the more faithful we are, there's more anointing. I want to read that again, if I may. I feel prompted to do that. God's love is not based on performance. If you goofed up awful yesterday, that didn't change God's love for you and his anxiousness to forgive. Oh, isn't it sweet when somebody comes to you and you're just anxious to forgive? I had somebody a while back and I thought, man, we got to get this worked out. You know, I don't like this. And Lord, I don't know. I've done everything I know to do. I don't know what to do. pretty soon, it wasn't long after that, a few days, they came to me. And when I saw the look on their face, I thought, oh, they got a sorry look on their face that they're sorry. And I found myself, I didn't want to grin when they were talking, but I was so happy that they were actually saying, I shouldn't have said that, and I'm really sorry. And I'm like, you know what? In fact, what I said to them, I said, there's not enough words in the English language to tell you how forgiven you are. That's what I said. God's anxious to forgive us. His love isn't based on performance. But, listen, don't you let our church tell you any different. If you want anointing and favor, faithfulness is key. It's all over Scripture. Develop a pattern of faithfulness, and it's over time. You're not going to do it right at first. My goodness gracious, please accept that God is gentle and merciful. He makes me look sick as a grandpa. But you ought to see how pitiful I am as a grandpa. Little Addison comes up to me. Grandpa, I had a rough day today. Oh my goodness gracious, I just got love and mercy just gushing out of me. And she's got tears running down her cute little face and her little blonde hair, and she's just saying, Grandpa, could you and I talk? Oh, honey, come here. I'm pathetic compared to God. That's why I love Psalms 103. We often use it in the services. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all your iniquities and healeth all your diseases. And it goes on down to say that as a father pitieth his children, so the Father pitieth us. Pity meaning, oh, I'm sorry that you're having trouble. That's the God we're dealing with. His love doesn't change when we mess up. But faithfulness matters. Are you listening? Faithfulness matters. You got to get into the thought life. We got to change some patterns here. If you just think about hunting every day of your life, then every thought will be on hunting. But you will be amazed as you begin to get Scripture into you. How do I quote those verses? Am I some smart guy? No. Over the years, I've learned verses. I've even challenged myself to learn whole chapters. And it's awesome when you're discouraged and you start saying a chapter and it just flows out of you and you think, I think God's spurring that. Man, I'm remembering that well. God gets into what He's in, you know? And when the word's flowing out of you, He'll work through that. And not only that, people say, oh, I'd like to share my faith from time to time. And that's a wonderful step, and you need to do that when you can and when the door is open. But it's amazing how God will bring back to your memory scriptures and things you've heard, and you'll be talking to somebody. How many here have had a time when you talked to somebody and afterwards you were amazed at what was said? I see a hand already. Yeah. You were amazed. You went away and thought, man, where'd that come from? Was that me? Well, that's because the precious partner wants to engage with you, but he can't engage with you if it's all polluted stuff. Are you with me? We fill our mind with pollution, and then we're wondering why the Holy Spirit isn't blessing us. Hello? But as we start the process, you know how many times I've asked forgiveness in one day before? You don't want to know. When I worked with the public, and I'm kind of a reactive guy, and I was young then, feisty. I bet you, Vince, I repented 150 times a day. I'm serious. And then I'd think, Lord, am I wearing you out? You're probably ready to kick me out. You know what would come to me, Brian? That verse. When Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times, thinking he would impress the Lord. What do you think, Lord? Pretty good, huh? Jesus turned to him and said, 70 times 7. That doesn't mean 490. That means have a forgiving spirit. Be anxious to forgive. Well, where was I? Stinking thinking. That's where I was. All right. I didn't got the text yet. It's 20 till 12. I won't say everything I was going to say. Here's the powerful verse that we need for this morning. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, mercy. We're way off on our thought life. We're way off on our thought life. My mom, who had walked with the Lord for, when she passed, it would have been 68 years. Yes, she walked with the Lord. My mom had programmed her mind by God's enabling and the aid of the Holy Spirit. She had programmed her mind so in such a way on thinking on the good things, it almost aggravated us. You know, we just try to have a little conversation about something, and mom would be correcting us all the time and saying, you know, I don't think that's appropriate to say about that person or that. And sometimes we would almost become aggravated, but I realized in being around her, especially in her later years, that she had so thoroughly committed her thought life to Christ that he had rejuvenated her mind. All right, I need to... stinking thinking here. Don, blame him for the sermon title. You guys all text him, tell him that he needed to word that better. I got five things here, and I'm not going to spend a long time on them, but I do feel it's for somebody this morning. We've jumped around a little bit, but I think we were supposed to. I think I was supposed to talk that little segment about the devil and standing up to the devil, and I think there's folks here that need that, need victory in that area. But in regard to thoughts that are unhealthy, and why Don used the word stinking thinking, is thoughts that are unhealthy. This is for somebody, and I felt it confirmed a few minutes ago, so I'm going to go through these five. You got to get it out of your head. Please listen and receive this in a gentle way, please. You got to get out of your head, I'm unworthy, I'm not good enough. I've sinned way too deeply. You got to get that out of your head. Jesus did not bleed and die on the cross and die a gruesome death and then descend into hell to preach to the demons to forgive us for cheating at Monopoly. He did it to forgive us for the ugly stuff that we didn't know how in a creation we were going to pay for. You with me? Why is that so important? Because if you're stuck in the stinking thinking that I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough and Pastor, you don't know what I've done. We got a whole church full of ex-convicts and I love it. We don't glory in our sins. When people give their testimonies, they cry about it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've come to Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. But Pastor, you are forgiven. But Pastor, I've had 175 relationships. You are forgiven. Jesus did not bleed and die and suffer and die a gruesome death and descend into hell, which was the worst suffering, I believe, of all spiritually and all that he dealt with there. He didn't do that to forgive us for cheating at Monopoly. He did it to forgive us of the ugly stuff that there is no way in the world we could pay for. And there's no way we can fix it. I had a man with tears running down his face. He said to me, you know how many people I've destroyed? And I said, well, I've observed some of it. I understand that. But are you sincere for more than ever before in your at this point in your life, a person's very precious to me, are you sincere more than you've ever been in your life at this point in life to open your heart and receive forgiveness? Then you are forgiven. I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough. I've sinned too deeply. Tied to it is number two, wallowing in the past. If you're going to just keep thinking that, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And you just keep wallowing in that, you're going to go back. You're going to be drawn from that. And instead of your mind being renewed, Romans 12, instead of your mind being renewed, your mind's becoming fearful and full of doubt because you're wallowing in the past instead of accepting forgiveness. Does that make sense? Our thinking has to change. If you're one here that struggles with your past, I would encourage you to write down or use your Bible app. And there's some wonderful Bible apps, and we've got so many advantages nowadays. We're without excuse, actually. Strong's Concordance can be gotten. I have it on my phone. Many of you probably do too. If you're unfamiliar with where to look because it's new territory, ask some of us here and we'll set you up with somebody to sit down and write out the verses that are there of your weakness. If you say, well, morally, I made horrible mistakes and I can't get past it, Pastor. I've had people tell me that. I've spent hundreds of hours talking to people over the years and I've heard all this. I can't get past it. Morally, I've made terrible mistakes. And I know you're right, and I know I need victory, and I know I need to think, but I can't get past it. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sit down with somebody. If you don't feel comfortable using the Bible app and you can't figure it out, no problem. I'm not very high-tech either. Sit down with somebody and let us help you write out some verses that talk about cleansing morally. Start memorizing those verses, and every time the enemy, the liar, for he is a liar. Jesus says he's a thief and he's a liar. In Jesus' name, we rebuke him. Every time the devil throws that up, you come back with, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Does that sound familiar? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus had to deal with the devil? Yeah. In the wilderness after he'd fasted for 40 days and he was at the weakest state you could be. Isn't it something that the enemy attacks you at your weakest point? He knows what your weakest point is. Now let me quote something one of my sons says. I think this is an awesome quote. I got a son that comes up with incredible quotes. He said, make decisions when you're strong to protect you when you're weak. Isn't that good? That's good, isn't it? Make decisions when you're strong to protect you when you're weak. Sit down with somebody the first of this week while this message is fresh on your mind and say, Rita, she'll sit down with you. She knows the Bible well. Okay? I'm not bragging on Rita. There's a lot of people I can say this about. Okay, we're going to write down some verses that have to do. Well, I struggle with the pull of addiction. Okay, let's go. Let's get some verses here going. The Word of God's powerful. Now, you got to connect with Christ first. You have to come to Christ and receive salvation. Heart reborn, but mind's got to be reprogrammed. How do we reprogram our mind? It's by putting the right input in it. Okay? And if I may say it this way, become obsessed, at least for a while. Become obsessed, yes, obsessed with scriptures that flood your mind with I'm forgiven. And you know what? It won't be long. That'll take root in your heart. And you'll come up here in 3 months and look at me and say, you know, I've had a horrible past. And you won't glance away like so many do and have those nervous eyes. You look me straight in the eye. I love to see people grow. Oh, it's just awesome. It makes me cry. People come up and look you right straight in the eye. I love it. And they'll say, nope, we got her settled. Larry's like that. He look at you, just look at you right in the eye. Yep, we're going to do her, buddy. Okay, settled. That'll go from here to here, and your heart will get grounded. Your heart will get grounded. But if you always do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. So don't come to the end of 2019 and expect a different result if you're going to go with the same old pollution all the time in our minds. Does that make sense? I think that makes all kinds of sense. I'm almost done. Aren't you glad? I'm unworthy, not good enough, stinking, thinking. Don, you're on the money. Wallowing in her past, restricted, even bound by false beliefs. Oh, that's sad. A lot of people have been bound and restricted. Some are totally bound by it. False beliefs. False beliefs. Oh, mercy. I wish I had time to tell the hound dog story, but I could make it real quick. Could I? Some of you know it, but some of you don't. I was walking. I'll condense it a little bit. I was walking by the river in my prayer time. And this beautiful black and tan hound dog came out. And I'm not a coon hunter or anything, but I was smart enough to know that's a nice dog. And had a collar on him. I thought, boy, somebody's lost him, you know. And I petted him a little bit, and man, he's just so happy, you know. He's just tail wagging. You know how a dog wags his tail so hard his whole rear end moved? And so I'm petting this dog, and he's so happy he's made a friend. He's just drooling and carrying on all kinds of things I don't like. But I thought, all right, you know, okay. So he goes with me. I didn't really want him to go along, but he's gone with me. Well, we made pals, and here we go. And I even thought to myself, this wouldn't be a bad dog for us. And I do kind of like him, and I'm hurrying this. It's a good story. But we turned there by that bend by the Eel River where I walk and pray, and we came up the hill where the wooded part starts. And pretty soon he ran over to a tree. And he sat down there and started barking. Howling. I'll try not to imitate it, but I'm not very good at it. And he just stayed there at that tree. And he just kept howling at that tree. Oh, he'd move back and forth a little bit, and then he'd sit down there and he'd just howl at that tree. Well, I kept going, and he'd look over at me, and I could see he kind of wanted to go with me, but he just, I'm going somewhere with this. He just howled at that tree, howled at that tree. I got up about a quarter mile up the road, and I started having a spiritual sense that there was some kind of a lesson in this. That dog kept looking at me, and he wanted to go with me, but he couldn't leave that tree. And I said, Lord, what is the lesson? And God, as clear as anything, said to me, and we need this here. He said, that dog wants to go with you. He likes you. He recognizes that he could go to your home and you got a big 60-foot porch. And he'd think he died and went to heaven. That's such a nice place to live. But he's tied to something he's been taught and he can't leave that tree. I thought, that's right. As a puppy, he was taught, and there was a coon up in that tree, that if there's a coon in a tree, you do not leave. I started crying, and I thought, that's what's wrong with a lot of people. They're tied to something they bought, they believed, but it's not the truth. And I found myself with an urgency thinking, what are you thinking, dog? You could come to Robin's house. We got horses. We got 18 acres. We got a big 60-foot porch you could sit on. You could have a wonderful life in heaven. But you're tied to something that you believed that you were taught, and you can't leave that tree. When he disappeared and I went on home, I never saw him again. Sometimes you've been told you're worthless, and maybe it was by a parent. And you believed it. And your whole life you're bound and restricted and tied because, and you're howling at this silly tree and you're not getting the opportunity to go to that place I prepared for you. John 14, behold, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you can have an awesome place with God and a walk with God, but you're tied to something you've been told and you can't get away from that tree. Know anybody like that? I don't know what you've believed or bought into. But boy, there's a lot of things the devil wants to sell you, and it wants to get in your head. And you can't get past it. I can't tell you the times I've sat with people. Vince, you can relate to this. And tears run down their face. And they'd say, you're right. You're right. I know this is right. But they're tied to something they've chosen to believe. Jesus can break that stuff. But you got to get the right input. We got to get rid of our stinking thinking. Don, you're right on the money. We got to get rid of our stinking thinking. All right. Purpose of this message is to stir you. And I've gone 100 directions and yelled and screamed like I always do. Sorry. That's just the way I am. What I want you to do is look at your own life. Let a man examine himself. We read in Corinthians. We often read that on communion night. Let a man examine himself. I want you to look at your own self and say, in what areas is my thinking off? Lord, I want to get this straightened out. Are there things I'm tied to, and I'm sitting here barking at this same old tree, you know? The same old tree, we just keep sitting right here, the same old thing, and here we are again, and we're seeking comfort from that same old stuff that don't last, and tomorrow morning we feel terrible, but we can't leave that. We're convinced that we're worthless, and we're stuck here, and we can't get out of this. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. It starts the decision. Receiving Jesus is heart rebirth, but our minds need reprogrammed. All right, I got to quit. But I am going to say something about number 5. Stinking thinking. Relationships that spew negativity and corruption. I got to say something about this. This is for somebody. Relationships that spew negativity and corruption. You got to get those out of your life. Now that ain't your marriage. Pardon my English. That ain't your marriage. No. Don't go there. You vowed to be faithful to her. You vowed to be faithful to him. Don't drive home and say, you're out of here, lady. Don't do it. Now, I thought if you laughed a little, maybe I'd keep you two more minutes. There is something here. Relationships that spew negativity and corruption. The Bible says if your hand caused you to stumble, cut it off. There is nothing unscriptural about when there's somebody in your life. I've worked with people that I've said, I got to get out of this department. This person is driving me nuts. Anybody ever had that? Of course, the liar comes along, the enemy. Well, if you were the Christian, you should be. You'd be able to handle this. Being a Christian isn't being as strong as a bull. Being a Christian is sometimes having the wisdom to know when you need to do something different. Are you with me? And if you think I'm kidding, I transferred departments at Kroger's one time to get away from somebody. I told my wife, you know what I'm talking about. I told my wife, I said, I cannot deal with this guy anymore. Spewing negativity constantly, I get myself all upset. Constantly slamming this, slamming that. Oh, my goodness gracious. And I said, Lord, I want to have a, you know, give me a spirit of love and mercy and all that. That's important, and that needs to be. But sometimes you just need to cut something off and say, you know what? I'm going to get the weights off me so I can run the race. Does that sound familiar? Well, that's out of Hebrews. Let us run with patience the race set before us. And sometimes there's relationships that I'm sorry, and if they don't understand, too bad. There's too much at stake here to play tiddlywinks. Are you with me? This is eternal significance. I told Vince the other day, we were talking about something, and I said, you know what? I'm done. I said, I've done all I know to do. I'm not going to be weighted down. There's enough people out here that want to know the Lord. I'm not going to argue about nonsense. I'm not trying to be flippant or smart. Like, my wife will tell you, I'll bend over backwards and stay up all night if I can straighten something out with somebody. But there's some people that just aren't going to get it. Are you with me? They're not going to get it. And you've got to say, you know what? We're moving on, brother. We're moving on. Canaan land is just over the hill, and we're moving on. We ain't going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and put up with this nonsense. I had somebody a while back, they say, well, I don't talk to this person much anymore, and that hurt their feelings. I said, well, I'm getting tired of negativity spewed constantly. I don't need that. This is uphill, brother. We're running an outreach ministry trying to help people that are broken to pieces, and we love them with all our heart, and I can't just facilitate everything. Are you with me? Yeah. You might as well shake your head this way because it's the truth. I'm not trying to be smart like you, but I think this is a problem. There's been a movement in the last 20 years in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's been a movement, and there's a lot of, I'm not going to mention names of organizations, but there's some of them pushing it. We're just lovey-dovey, and we never have a confrontation or anything like that. Sometimes you need to have a confrontation, and you say, hello, this is going to stop, and it's going to stop now. And I love you, and I'd help you in a minute. But this is weighting me down, and I'm not doing well in this race because of this weight, and hello, I'm trimming this off. And if you got a relationship you're in, it's not your marriage. If you got a relationship you're in where there's just constant dragging down, we're nearing the coming of Christ. You got to shed that off, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can have the love of Jesus and do that. It was Jesus who said, if your hand caused you to offend, cut it off. Yeah, if your eye caused you to offend, caused you to stumble, pluck it out. That sounds pretty gruesome. Reach in there and pluck out your eye. Reach in there behind those tendons and grab a hold, get a finger in behind that thing. That's it. But I don't think Jesus just picked words out of nowhere. It is painful to cut off relationships, and sometimes it has consequences. But I'm going to tell you something. If you always do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. Let's do a new thing. That's the longest I ever preached in my life. No. Let's stand together.